Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I have Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's reconstruct the timeline here. Before we get to the moment we think that J.J. kind of revealed where football crept back into his psyche here, for those of you getting in your car, may not have heard D'Amico Ryan's comments yet. Let's skip straight to D'Amico. We've heard J.J. from the softball game plenty of times over the last couple of days where he left the door open to coming back, said that he told D'Amico Ryan's last year that if he needed him, to call him. We know that that didn't happen last year. Here was D'Amico at the Texans charity golf tournament yesterday when he was asked about the possibility of J.J. coming back and what circumstances would there need to be for you, D'Amico, to say we need J.J. Watt.
I love to hear J.J. saying he's ready. I got his number ready to go just in case we need him. J.J., you know, planning his softball event this past weekend. It was fun to see all the guys. J.J. looks good. He's in shape. He's ready to roll. So I may need to make that call. So I'm happy that that it's open from him. You know, J.J. is an outstanding player, man. He's been an outstanding player for a long time in this league. And I'm proud of him for what he's able to do in the community. Still reaching back, and the people that he's touched here in the city of Houston is outstanding to see the response and all the people that showed up to support him this past Saturday. Oh, man, really proud of J.J.
I know what circumstance would you, because he said call him only if you need him, but under what circumstance would you actually call?
I need him now. I need to make that call right now. Anytime you get J.J. Watt's ready to go, I'm ready to go.
That's the right answer, D'Amico Ryans. You brought up this morning, Seth, I think the best point as to why is it different this time around than last year?
Right. Yeah, because Cody Suits had made the point, like, hey, if the Texans didn't try to sign him or bring him back last year when they were banged up on the defensive line, why would they necessarily do it right now when they've got depth and all of that? I think that last year J.J. had been very public. He talked with you and I about it, in the pregame that one day, about just he's been doing work. Last year he was doing workouts for a retired football player.
That was in week four, we should point
right
out. Yeah.
He was staying fit and wanted to fit into pants off the rack and all of that stuff. And he was still big. You said he was only 4 or 5 pounds below his body weight, but he hadn't been doing a lot of the more explosive, aggressive types of training that he's always done to get ready for a football season. And he had said that too. Like he said that in multiple places. Said it with Chris Long on his podcast that he just had not been one bit ready to go play football. When people were asking him, "Are you going to return?" He's like, "No, you don't understand. I haven't done like football drills." Until about midway through the season, rounded off the Ring of Honor induction, You saw him. Maybe you saw him wearing a pair of cleats at the facility. Week 9, he says that was the first time that he felt the pang of not playing, that pain and or pang of not playing.
Yeah.
That, and now just last week he referenced, or at the softball tournament, he referenced that it sounds like he's been working out, like he's ready to go play football.
And this is the last year he's going to do that.
Then yeah. So I think that it might be as simple as that. He was not mentally or physically prepared to play football last year.
Right.
At least the way he would feel comfortable doing it. Going into this season, it very might well be that, yeah, he is mentally and physically prepared to play football if that bat signal goes up.
Yep. If we're reconstructing the timeline, like, why is this different now than it was last year? You laid it out, Seth. Ring of Honor, week 4, he's working out like a normal civilian. He's not thinking about playing football again. Week 9, he goes to visit his brother TJ for a Thursday night game. And they're staying at TJ's house. TJ comes back from the hotel from the night before to get ready for the game. And here was JJ back on November 8th of last year, week 9, on the Pat McAfee show, signaling this is the exact moment maybe where the FOMO really started to kick in.
I will say that Sunday when we were at his house and he was getting ready for the game, you know, he comes home from the team hotel because it's a night game. Or I guess it was Thursday. So Thursday he comes home from the hotel and he's getting ready for the game. You know, he's getting dressed. He's putting on his music. He's got his coffee. And as the music starts going and it gets closer and closer, he's getting ready to leave and we start talking about the pregame. Like, that was truly the first time where I was like, man, I wish I was doing this right now.
Oh.
Like, I do wish, like, for that moment, I was like, I do wish that I was getting ready for a game. And just that feeling, that adrenaline, and being able to see it and feel it in the house, it was the first time that I actually had that FOMO about it.
Okay. 11 days later, he's back here in Houston for the Cardinals-Texans game in week 11. And he's here all week in town because it's Thanksgiving, probably staying at the Cushing's house, I would imagine, maybe, or an Airbnb somewhere. But he was in the building all week. I think that was when he had the cleats on, was that when he was in town that Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
Because that's where it really started to bubble up some there.
Right,
you know?
Right. That, man, that, and it is, you had asked me during the break, okay, you know, did I ever think about coming back? And I did, 100%. I actually talked to Tom Coughlin about it. Because you'll recall, I turned down an offer to go play for the Giants the year they won their first Super Bowl. So that was dumb. And I don't think about that once a week, every week. No, never. Not when you bring it up during a break and I hate myself for 12 minutes
afterwards.
Bring up
the Giants specifically.
Yeah. Just real quick. I was coming off an ACL. It was my second ACL. I was 32 years old. Like, it was probably going to be it for me. And Tom Coughlin told me, listen, Seth, you're going to be on PUP to start the year. We don't want you to even start practicing until October. And I was like, nah, I'm going to go somewhere where I can play 16 games. I got cut. And that was it for me.
Well, there wasn't it wasn't in vogue at the time to do what Coughlin was a visionary. Like,
I know.
You would have been the first Linval Joseph in Ndamukong Suh.
I actually, they had just, Jerry Reese had just become the GM, and I kind of envisioned, I overthought it like I do everything. I was like, man, I know Tom's telling me this, and he really, that's what he wants to do with me, but I could totally see this being a power struggle where, like, oh, Coach who might be on his way out brings in an old guy that he likes, and the GM flexes by not doing it. So I overthought it. But then, you know what? I probably would have, Anyway, so the part, it's not, you asked if it was like the adrenaline rush, and I don't think adrenaline rush is the right word or phrase. I think it's just the matter of, like, it's something that you're, you know, like, JJ is an extreme example, but any football player, like, you're in the best 0.1% of people who play football. You know, it's fun to be good at something.
Yeah,
it's fun to go back and just, there's that element of, man, you've been in a job where you just get to hang out with the guys all day, every day, and be part of, like, a common focused goal all the time. And there's a big absence in your life when you lose all that. And, you know, like, people, I'm not making a direct comparison to the military, but a lot of military guys share the same. I've talked to them about it. It's like a lot of that same sentiment of, man, some of the things that you used to think you hate hated, you actually really miss. You miss the structure of it.
The structure
is
big, yeah.
Yeah, you miss having that clear, concise goal, and you're part of a group effort towards that goal. You miss getting constant feedback. Like, that's a huge one. You go 10 years of your life getting constant and immediate feedback as to how you're doing. And then think about what JJ's doing now. And I heard Tom Brady describing his like day a couple of weeks ago. And it's very stressful to all of a sudden be very, very busy and yet have no actual measuring stick of how you're doing. Like, okay, so JJ goes and he does the Sunday studio show at CBS. How'd you do? Did you win? Did you lose? You know, what did you do? There's no way to tell.
No.
There's no direct comparison.
Yeah.
Burnley. Okay. Okay, what are my benchmarks that I'm comparing myself to as being a minority owner on a struggling British English soccer
right,
team?
Right, right.
You don't know.
It's a huge void.
There's no, like, the competition isn't there.
Mm.
So, yeah, all of those things, I would imagine, not to mention just the pure emotional side of just, like, anybody listening right now that played high school sports knows this. Just that thrill of going out into a competition like that. You miss that. You don't get that same thing by going out on a jet ski in Barbados.
Right. No, the measuring stick is big, man, for sure. A lot of people talking about this, man. McAfee, as you can imagine, this was a big topic on McAfee's show yesterday.
Yeah.
That ant pile had kind of coalesced of JJ coming back. You know, it was just a big mound of mud with a bunch of holes in it. And then I feel like it got kicked on the McAfee show last Thursday when they asked Nick about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so when McAfee comes in on Monday and he's got this amazing answer to Brandon Scott's question from JJ Watt, they talked about it yesterday on the show.
Yeah, and
right?
McAfee does a great job. Like, because we'd been thinking about it all analytically, and then McAfee just does the very smart thing to do, which was he painted a picture of what it would look like.
Yep.
How about D'Amico just being like, all right, JJ? Well,
yeah, didn't need
kind of wild. I don't need you, JJ. Or is it like, hey, guy gets hurt on Friday, okay, and you need somebody, mm-hmm. and we can't sign anybody, mm-hmm. I'll be there. And if he gets dropped into a game down there in Houston – next year, week 15, what if it's against the – I mean, sure. Probably will be against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that stadium with him, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, them all coming out of the tunnel? It would be insane. It would be a Houston Texans wet dream for the Texans fan base.
I'm glad you pulled this. I watched it yesterday. I'm like, I need to pull this. I'm glad you got this audio.
I forgot to ask Ben if it was okay to use that last.
Well, there's the there, dump light's not blinking, so I think it's okay.
Good.
Yeah.
It would be a dream, kids. Just a dream.
It
would be a dream.
You'd be sweating when you wake up because it's so.
So this is the thing. The scenario he painted was very WWE.
Yes.
You know, like somebody gets hurt on a Friday, they sign JJ. And you know who else? You know who I was thinking of as I was painting that picture in my mind? Greg Grissom, the team president.
Yeah.
The merch sales, my God. Can you imagine?
Dude.
Can you imagine they call an emergency battle red day?
They need to put... Boy, can you imagine if they put the new uniforms in the store with a Watt number 99 jersey in there?
What if they don't announce that JJ is signing? They just put the jerseys.
Yes, I mean, that's like, what I'm saying. Like, okay, this is where, and you're right, and that's the flair. That's McAfee. That's Monday Night Raw McAfee right there in that cut. Can you imagine the crowd when they're coming out? It's Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. Oh, man.
I'm surprised JJ hasn't. Has he ever done a WWE appearance?
No, not that I know
come
of.
Come out and just, like, you know, come in. Usually the football players just come in and, like, give a forearm to a couple
Kittle,
guys.
Kittle did it at WrestleMania this year, one of the pay-per-views, and Gronk. Hell, Gronk had signed with them for a little while.
Yeah. That's right. Didn't Gronk have the Anywhere belt or whatever?
He the 24/7. He may have. Yeah.
Yeah.
He made the Anywhere belt. Yeah, the 24/7. He did. I like that.
So speaking of Gronk, I got thinking about him when he signed those 2 1-year deals at the end of his career with the Bucks.
Mm.
And I don't have a Spotrack subscription, so I don't know what the only thing I could see is this last year he had a 1 year $8 million contract. Because that was the other question we had was, okay, like this is all fun to talk about, but it's kinda hard to talk about what kind of salary is JJ expecting, and what are the Texans willing to give up? Like, where the rubber meets the road on this for me is, like, right now, as good as I feel about Kamari Lassiter, if the Texans signed Stephon Gilmore, I would be really excited. Because Lassiter, you know, you never know. A, second-round pick. You don't know if he's going to start week one. You don't know about the Okuda and Henderson and all of that. Stephon Gilmore could step in and be good for you immediately. If you had to make the choice between paying a one-year $20 million contract to Stephon Gilmore or a one-year $20 million contract to J.J. Watt, because J.J. was playing at a higher level than Gronk was when he signed with the Bucks that last year. Like, which would you prefer?
Does it have to be 20? I don't think Gilmore's a $20 million player anymore.
That's, right, okay, yeah, I just threw that out of there. Yeah. Let's say $12 million. Let's say it's $12 million. 1 year, $12
million. Boy, it's a good question. JJ, probably. JJ.
Yeah. I would say for right now, for pass rushers on the inside, because I think JJ would come in and they would probably plan on him playing like 20 to 25 snaps a game.
Yep.
And I think JJ is likely... I'll say any 30, how old is JJ now? 34?
33, 34, yeah.
Like any 33 or 34-year-old defensive lineman who had transitioned into being more of an edge player than an interior defensive lineman, I don't think he wants to be down. I'd be surprised if he had an appetite to be a three technique on first and second rundowns. I think he wants to be on the edge on first down and come inside to rush the passer. So I think he becomes a situational pass rusher where you got... From left to right, Will Anderson, Danico, J.J. Watt, Danico Autry, Danielle Hunter on third and 10. How do you feel about that? Well, and this is the other part. Like, usually to get your best pass rusher singled up, you got to blitz. Like, when J.J. was here, Wade Phillips would send – he would rush five a lot, which they call a blitz these days. It's a dog, but whatever. They would send five guys because then you can engineer a way for JJ to get singled up on an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. You have a situation there where you have four guys who have legitimate reason to double team, and you're either going to double team one of them, and three guys are going to be free, or you're going to max protect or use heavier protection and have fewer guys out on routes. You're calling a blitz. You have the effect of a blitz, but with a four-man rush.
Four guys,
yeah. Because you can't, like, who the hell are you going to double? One of those guys is coming free.
It's crazy.
Two of those guys are coming free.
Okay, well, you're
Or they're max protecting,
yeah,
and you only got two or three guys out on routes.
Right. Does that answer your question? Are you a JJ or Stephon guy in your hypothetical?
I'm JJ now.
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like you talk yourself into it.
It's that scenario where... He can be a part-time player. Like, my rookie year, I played with Clyde Simmons. And Clyde was strictly limited to, like, 20 snaps per game. And he was awesome. It was so fun to just watch, like, and Clyde was not in the kind of shape that JJ is.
Yeah.
Clyde would just come in and just put it on people.
Fresh
you know?
Legs.
Yeah. And he stayed healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably got... He went on to do it for a couple more years after 1997, I think. And he was very productive as a situational pass rusher. I think that's what J.J. That would be the ideal scenario, is you use him as a situational pass rusher.
J.J.'s 35, by the way. Turned 35 in March. Yeah. Well, we forget. Like, he had a long college journey. You know, he went to Central Michigan and transferred and walked on. And, you know, he was not a, you know, he wasn't a three-and-done guy back in the day. So, you and I off the air were talking about this yesterday, like a who says no kind of scenario. Put the Gilmore versus Watt scenario aside for a second. Let's just focus just on JJ, Seth. 1 year, $15 million. Who says no? JJ Watt, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio. Who says no in that scenario?
I think JJ says no because he's waiting. I think JJ says no. Because he's waiting either to find the right team or to – he's either waiting to find the right team or he just wants to give himself the best chance to stay healthy and fresh the whole way through. But I think that for 1 year, $15 million, D'Amico and Nick would both feel like, yeah, we're going to get – like the guy's going to come in. He's going to work hard. He's going to do all the right things. He's going to be a great example for the younger guys. it's like culturally, I think it's really good for the team in a lot of ways. I don't fear any kind of, and I think also one of the big differences as we've discussed, but if you guys are just tuning in, if you ask like, well, why didn't they do it last year? I think multiple reasons, but also that JJ had not gone into the season mentally or physically prepared the way he usually is to play a football game.
Yep.
So I think that this year, D'Amico has already established himself. Like, if there was any worry or concern about, like, hey, we want this to be a new Texans team with our culture and all of that, I don't think you have to worry about that now. I think you got that out of the way with a successful first season.
I think even little things like the softball game this past weekend where JJ's out there chopping it up with 10 or 12 guys that are on the current Texans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like little stuff, like just as far as like social, you know, interspersing or, you know, interaction with them.
You know, and I can't remember if it was CJ or Will when they were doing their Super Bowl rounds. I think it was Will that talked about how a lot, you know, Andre's around a lot. No, it was CJ. Andre's around a lot. JJ's around all the time. Will has talked in the past about how cool it is that he can ask JJ for advice. You know, like Will and JJ may have already been texting all last season about, you know, various things. I don't know how frequently or anything. If there was any concern about, like, hey, we need to establish our culture and do it the right way, I think they've established that.
Yeah.
You've already got Will Anderson telling guys at the Pro Bowl that they might not be texting.
Not for everybody, man.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. I love that. I love that. We'll get to some updates on Tank Dell here in a second that we got from this from the golf tournament yesterday from D'Amico Ryans and from Cal McNair. We'll get to that in just a second.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As long as we're talking about the softball game, I have one quick legit softball take that I need to float past you here about this game. Because the legends who are all JJ's age or older, they were all 35 or older. And the current Texans who mostly, other than Case Keenum and John Weeks, skewed like 27 and younger.
Yeah.
The legends were all like pretty good or really good at softball.
Yeah.
The current Texans, most of them look like they'd never touched a bat or a glove before. Is this an indicator? Is this an indicator of the popularity of baseball with the younger generation waning right now?
Okay.
Am I reading too much into this?
No. I don't think you're reading too much into it, but it's nuanced because, look, youth baseball participation had been on the decline for a while, up through 2015, when you looked at the numbers over the previous 5 years, there was a 14.5% decline in youth participation. And that's when Manfred, in his first year of commissioner, created the Play Ball initiative. And it's been really, really successful. Kids, more and more kids are playing baseball. There's a much higher, like the number of people who have played baseball even casually in the previous year, number of youths that had done it in the previous year is like 100% higher now than it was in 2015. Mm-hmm. But the guys that are out there playing in that charity softball classic, those guys were in that period
zone
where everything was on the decline.
Yeah.
And remember, too, everything still is moving towards specialization, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
one of these things that's an unstoppable train.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it's good for kids to play multiple sports, and yet it's just the intensity of competition has created more specialization. But yeah, I would bet that the guys who are young players right now, they were right in that window of declining baseball participation, and they might just never have. Yeah, a lot of them might never have played Little League baseball.
No, that's how it looked. That sure is how it looked.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Will Anderson had played baseball as a kid? What that would be like pitching to him? Like he's that's like Yordan kind of stuff right there.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's the biggest indicator, Sean, I think, of how it had changed, at least with that age group culturally, is that, like, honestly, Will being able to go out there and just have fun with the fact that he's awful at softball.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm thinking baseball. I would be mortified. I just, like, I feel like, for me, it'd be like, man, I don't want anybody to know how bad I am at baseball.
When I tell you that Will Anderson, who already might have been my favorite player on the Texans, is now number one with a bullet, we watched him take BP down in the batting cages in the basement there at Constellation Field. A handful of us were down there. And you could tell right away, like, okay, Will's never picked up a bat, which is not his, it's not his fault. It's not a problem. It's just,
right.
And he's laughing about it. He's got reporters in there filming him, and he's laughing his ass off about how bad his swing was. When we all go back up to the press box after that batting practice is over, now they've introduced all the players and everybody's milling around on the field, and they list the 10 guys up on the big screen there who are going to take part in the home run derby.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One of them is Will Anderson. I'm like, he is a gem. He is the best. And then it went about how you expected it would go. He had a couple literally swings and misses on slow pitch softball. Now he got his legs under him and did, you know, like started to get comfortable and hit some pretty far. For a guy with a bad swing, he was hitting it really far. He didn't hit any out, but he was getting better as he went along, which tells me, like, if he just put a little time into it, he could probably come back next year and win the damn thing. But then when he got introduced, he had already kind of embarrassed himself a little bit in the home run derby. He could not have cared less. Like, he's laughing about it. They introduce him. He's batting second for the current Texans team. And he gets in the batter's box, and he's holding up his bat like a scepter. You know, like he's the king of the place.
Like, and he's ready to just... Did he point where he's going to hit his home run to or anything?
I don't know if he pointed or not. He's just waving his bat. Like, he's just... I'm with you. Like, I would have been... Like, if someone had told me, if I had Will Anderson swing... And someone told me, you're going to be one of the 10 guys in the home run derby. I said, I got to go home. My kid's sick. Something. My horse is sick. My dog is sick. Somebody's sick somewhere that I got to go check on.
I was trying to put myself through the test of, like, okay, is this a generational thing, or is it just a Seth Payne thing that I would be that embarrassed? Then I thought about it. Like, no, I'm not afraid. I would go out and shoot free throws and suck at it, and I'd be fine with it. Like, I wouldn't worry about it or anything. Any other sport, if I went out and sucked publicly, I wouldn't worry about it. Baseball, yeah, there's just something in me, the way I was raised, and just every, like, when we grew up, that it just feels like, no, I don't want people to know how bad I am.
If the Astros asked you to throw out the first pitch, would you throw out the first pitch in baseball?
I would. I have a hard time, though, because all of my shoulder injuries and surgeries, I have to kind of, I got to re-engineer. I have to, like, throw sidearm. Or underhand.
That would be awesome if they gave you like a month to prepare and you went out there and threw submarine style.
Yeah.
That would be, dude.
I might get
you'd
signed.
Be a legend. You might get signed. Yes. So, Tank Dell. Well, let's get to the Tank Dell update. We told the people.
No, I want to talk about Pat Neshek.
Oh, good pull. Dan Quisenberry for the oldies out there. Kent Tekulve. Tank Dell update. Let's do Cal first, because Cal went first with the media yesterday. Cal and Hannah met with the media. Good to see them out at the golf tournament. Here was Cal McNair on Tank Dell.
We're just grateful that, I believe no one was seriously hurt. but it looks like Tank will make a full recovery. We saw him in the office the other day, and he looked good in good spirits. And so, but he'll have to rehab and get back to where he was.
Okay, so he'll have to rehab and get back to where he was. So that's the first hint of anything right there, that there's rehab. I mean, you know, rehab, look, he got shot. So I would imagine there's some degree of rehab involved with that.
Yeah, right? And, you know, D'Amico was asked. Oh, we have D'Amico.
We got D'Amico, too. Right? Yep, yeah, we got D'Amico. Yeah. D'Amico did not want to answer with much specificity on anything timeline-wise with Tank.
Yeah, I talked with Tank. We had a good conversation. I talked to him several times, and Tank will be fine.
So you expect him to be ready for week one?
Tank should be fine.
What's your emotions like when you get a phone call like that from a player of yours?
Yeah, it's the thing about being in the head coach's seat, it's always you don't know what type of conversation you're going to get. You know what phone calls you will get. But it's, for me, it's just always being ready to adjust, always being adaptable with things that may happen, and just being genuine in every situation we have. And for me, as a head coach, I'm always real, upfront, honest with our guys. And that's the communication that that's the way I like to keep the communication with our guys, let them know if anything happens, they can call me with anything.
What do you hope he learns? Sorry. What do you hope he learns from a situation?
I've talked to Tank. That's more a personal situation, and we'll leave it at that.
Coach, I'm a question, but will Tank miss any time?
As I've said, I think I've answered all that about Tank. He'll be all right.
Tank will be fine. Anytime people were looking for a timeline, or is he going to miss time? The answer was Tank will be fine. Tank will be all right.
Coach speak. But I think also carving out a little time for, okay, best case scenario, it's that Tank will be fine in like 2 weeks. But you never want to hurry things along, especially at this time of the year. I mean, the worst case scenario ever was an RG3, created an ad campaign around his expected return date. Remember that?
Yeah, yes.
And immediately I'm like, oh, this is the dumbest thing ever, because you do like that, like thing you can have, you want to have your positive attitude, you want to manifest this, all that. Yes, 100%. Sometimes when it comes to medical issues, there are setbacks, you know, and you got to deal with those setbacks. But once you like publicly tie yourself to a date, it can create undue pressure, especially right now at this point in the season. So the way I would interpret it, just given that he said three times he'll be fine, but he didn't want to put a date on it, I think that's D'Amico just understanding the reality of any kind of injury.
Yeah,
they're going to be very, very careful with it. If it was just a flesh wound and it just, you know, he just needs to have the wound heal up and everything, then yeah, there's reasons that it shouldn't be any issue at all, but you just never know, I guess.
There's nothing.
Things get infected out of nowhere, you know?
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
There's nothing urgent on the calendar right now where we need dates for anything on
right,
Tank.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that I've heard that makes me feel like Tank's not going to be ready for week one or something like that, you know?
Right, right, right. Yeah, there's nothing is leaked out at all.
Yeah.
If anything, the at least whatever news has been reported and whatever the speculation is, it seems to be as benign as it can be when you're shot in the lower body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I can think of the worst case scenario.
Oof. No more little tanks. Yeah.
No more little tanks.
No more little. I say no more. I don't know if there's a little tank out there.
There's little tanks, right?
Tiny tanks.
There's already a little tank. Yeah. Little tank is fine.
That's true. He's number three on the Texans.
It's the littlest of all future tanks that we want to be. We want to be sure.
The teeny tanks. Yeah, the tiny tanks. A lot of questions rolling in about JJ Watt. If JJ, okay, this one's funny. If JJ comes back, does he get his name taken down from the Ring of Honor, and then we have a second induction ceremony down the road? That'd be a JJ move right there, LOL.
Or what if they
saying
a JJ 2.0? If who's wearing number two on the team right now? That would be the good one. That would
question.
Be the good joke. Now that defensive linemen can wear single digit
Robert
numbers.
Woods, I think, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. Maybe he buys. I like the idea of a JJ Watt 2.0. Buy the number off of Robert Woods.
J.J. Watt
back
in
wearing number two.
In a single-digit number. Yeah, like Kobe, when Kobe switched over to, I forget, was he 8 first or 24, but he switched
again,
numbers around. Yeah.
The merch sales, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
JJ can justify his salary, not from a salary cap perspective, but just from a pure dollars and cents.
Yeah.
He might be able to justify his salary just by changing his number and creating all that new merch and the new font and the new colors.
Would he look sleeker in a single-digit number?
Yes,
I think so, too. I think so, too.
I'm trying to think of... Remember Louis Nix wore a single-digit?
He wore number one at Notre Dame.
When it's a chubbier guy, I don't think it actually helps slimming. If anything, I think it almost accentuates all the flesh that is around.
Look at all that barren jersey there.
Yeah. For JJ, who's much leaner than Louis Nix was, yeah. I think, it does have a slimming effect.
Text message, if JJ has not signed his retirement papers, then he is 100% coming back one last time. Can you get the people up to speed, Seth, on retirement papers in the NFL? I feel like there's a lot of guys who are all the way out, but just wait to sign their papers for whatever
reason. Yeah, you just wait to sign your papers. You do get a nice little bonus. You get paid a certain amount of money for each year that you played. And I want to say it's a new collective bargaining agreement, so I don't know what it is now. I want to say when I retired, it was like it's not bad. It was like $10,000 a year or something.
It's pretty good.
Right, but it's nothing that's going to – it's not like JJ's worried about the high inflation rates and the time value of money. I got to get those papers in now.
No.
I got to get this into a money market fund. You know,
plus paperwork sucks.
Yeah,
paperwork.
And there's
sucks.
There's an element of finality to it. I remember when I had called my agent to say that I was ready to sign my retirement papers. That was when it really hit me. You know, like crap.
Yeah.
I just made a decision, didn't I?
I was at the press conference where JJ said the things he did on Saturday. I was standing right next to Brandon Scott. In retrospect, now that we've had 24, 48 hours, whatever, since then, a couple days, that's the one regret I have, is not asking JJ if he signed his retirement papers yet. I feel like that might have gotten some traction.
I think the other thing about signing your retirement papers is that it gets you off of the drug policy list. Which isn't, like, I'm not saying it's, they don't test for marijuana anymore or anything, but it gets you off the PED test list.
Gotcha.
Again, it's not that, I just got to retire so I can do some steroids. It's that they could call you at any time, you're on vacation, or like, hey, you got to take a drug test. And then all of a sudden you got to coordinate a drug test with somebody that can show up at your rental condo and watch you pee into a jar. It probably gets a little bit old.
You signing your retirement papers, going, flopping down into a hammock and jamming syringes into both of your thighs. finally.
Finally, I can get shredded.
Jamming it into your shoulder and into your traps. Seth just looks like a pincushion sitting there in a hammock.
Telling the bar, I'm going to Mexico where I'm guessing you can buy Diana Ball at various bars down there. Crush a few Diana Ball into my margarita.
Take an old fashioned, a margarita.
Bring me a kettlebell.
and some Diana Ball. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. So there's your Tank Dell update from D'Amico Ryans and from Cal McNair. Which team should get the most primetime games? This was a debate on NFL.com yesterday, and man, how times have changed in Houston. We will get to that coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Which team should get the most primetime games? It was wild, man. Last night, you know, just sitting there watching TV, got the laptop out. I go over to NFL.com. I'm like, oh, okay. If I missed anything today, let's see. It's been a light news day. And the lead. Not story, it's not a news story, but the lead article, I guess, Seth, was the graphic was the Chiefs logo, the Ravens logo, and the Texans logo all next to each other.
Yeah.
And the headline was, let me find it here, the headline was which team should have the most primetime games, basically, is what it was. And to see the Texans logo sitting there next to the two teams that were in the AFC title game this year was quite the pleasure, I would say, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice.
I was enjoying that you were struggling with that headline because it was the exact same thing that you had written down at the top.
Oh,
the
on the rundown?
You thought it was going to be some catchy, like professionally written headline. No, it was just which team should play in the most primetime games.
Yeah, that's it. So they had five of their experts debate this question, and three of them say the Chiefs. One says one says the Ravens. But the hero we need is a fellow by the name of Mark Ross. And he picks the Houston Texans. Now, he picks it with a caveat.
Oh.
He says, the Chiefs feel like the one true answer. And I won't be mad if they inevitably end up in more marquee slots than any other team. But my non-Chiefs pick.
Oh, this dude's got a caveat stuck up his butt. What the hell? Okay.
My non-Chiefs pick is the Houston Texans. CJ Stroud is a budding star who announced his NFL arrival by reaching the postseason, winning a playoff game, and earning the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. He's electric. It bleeds into the rest of the offense, the same way D'Amico Ryan's leadership and energy intoxicate the defense. Ooh. It's easy to root for this young team.
I like him, even though he caveated us.
Yeah.
So, this is the thing about the Chiefs. Look, America's had enough of the Chiefs. And they're going to do just fine in Kansas City, okay? Mm-hmm. People are going to be Chiefs fans forever.
Mm-hmm.
How about spreading some of the shoving of teams down America's throat? Why don't you throw some towards the fourth largest city in the country?
Give us some of that.
Third largest city in the country. Right. We know this. In the NFL, once you win a Super Bowl, that's when you have like branded that team onto the soul of its fan base, and you create these generational fans, and I feel like this is the year that the NFL should just you know try to really hammer that home for the Texans if they can win a Super Bowl this year and they happen to get a bunch of a whole lot of national exposure. America's ready to love this team before it gets too old. All the love right now, Sean. The love for CJ is intense, and you know that. That only goes like that turns to hatred over time with success. Right now, they're the sweethearts of the league, and that people like they were intrigued with CJ already, and now he's become a tour de force with his Super Bowl interviews and his ongoing friendly feuding with Micah Parsons. That I think America's ready to just fully embrace CJ for one or two seasons until they spit him out and trample
right
on him after he wins the Super Bowl.
Dude, global. CJ is global now, he and Micah. I mean, they're over in China, and they're over in Japan, and they're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he's converted way more Chinese kids to being football lovers than Pat Mahomes has,
yeah.
I would say.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
What's Pat Mahomes done for the actual game of football?
Right.
He's off taking care of his soccer team.
Yeah.
The least American of sports.
Yeah.
Well, you know, meanwhile, you got CJ, ambassador for the sport over in China, trying to convert them to football and capitalism.
He's hawking. Mahomes is just out here hawking insurance. He's an insurance salesman, basically,
yeah.
Is what he is. State Farm.
It's un-American. It's un-American. CJ Stroud is the team for America.
He's apple pie, man. He is, yes.
Were you surprised that the Bills had the most primetime games
yes.
last year?
Yes. Yeah. Seven. Seven primetime games for the Bills.
Kind of blows my market size premise out of the water.
Oh, there. Yeah. The fourth largest city thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did. Look, like Josh Allen is an exciting quarterback to watch. I think Lamar. Look, the case for the Ravens would be that Lamar Jackson is an awesome regular season quarterback.
Yeah.
And these primetime games are all in the regular season that we're talking about, that you can schedule ahead of time, that Lamar Jackson makes sense. Although, I did think there was part of Lamar Jackson's game last year where he improved in terms of just kind of shifting the psychology almost imperceptibly towards being more of a pass-first guy, like more of a complete and total quarterback. He still did do very impressive things with his legs.
Yeah.
It's just that a lot of the stuff that he did impressively with his legs was staying alive within the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's always hard to get him down, but it used to be easier to get him down in the pocket. Now he's learned to, like, okay, sometimes I can just take three steps and shirk off a tackler and stay within the pocket. So he's a little less electric than he had been before. Even when he does run past the line of scrimmage, I feel like there's almost a hesitancy. Did you notice in the Texans game, it was like his head was constantly, it was like he had to look three times to be sure before he made a cut.
Yeah.
Which was a different element of his game this year than he had before. But still, a hell of a regular season quarterback.
And against the Texans, he still ran for over 100 yards.
Right. No. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still very effective at it. But it's just, it doesn't look... He looks like he's still caught in that little zone where he's trying to change his game mm-hmm. to one that can survive and endure in the NFL, and he's not quite 100% comfortable, or at least he wasn't 100% comfortable
yeah.
with it last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking about the schedule with Cody Stutes. Cody Stutes came on my podcast, on the Utopia podcast, last week, and we got talking about the schedule release, and, man, he brought up a great point. We were doing kind of schedule wish list sort of stuff, and most of Cody's were things he wasn't, like, he was hoping didn't happen with the schedule.
Yeah.
And he brought up a great point about these Christmas games. There are four teams that are going to get royally screwed at the end of the season by these Christmas games. There are going to be two games on Christmas Day, because the Christmas Day games last week did so well ratings-wise, obliterated everything the NBA was doing that day.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL said, well, we got to do this Christmas Day thing again. Well, Christmas Day is on a Wednesday this year. It was on a Monday last year.
Yeah.
Monday's a normal football day. Wednesday is the least normal football day. Like, it's middle of the week. So these teams, keep in mind, this is like week 17 this is happening, right? This is towards the mm-hmm. end. Probably week 16 would be when this is happening. That you're going to have the teams that play on Christmas Day. There's going to be two games, so four teams. They're going to play on Saturday, the weekend before.
Yeah.
Which means they're getting a short week leading up to the Saturday game, Sunday through Saturday. That's manageable.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that part.
They get two short weeks in a row, Seth, down the stretch. Down the stretch. Now, I guess the benefit is you get a quasi-bye week after Christmas, right? You don't play for 11 days after that.
So you've got time to ice down all the extra injuries you have?
From three games in 11 days or whatever it is.
I hadn't thought about the previous week part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very limited in my caveman brain.
I hadn't
either. Like, oh, okay, well, they play on Saturday, then they play on Wednesday. That's like a Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Which nobody loves. But, yeah, you're stacking one short week on top
of another
one.
That. I do not want that for the Texans. Thanksgiving I'm cool with. That's normal. A Thursday game, Thanksgiving. It's also a normal football day, and it'd be the Cowboys. That would be a whole lot of fun. I don't need some rando... Like, I don't need the Texans playing the Bears on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that.
The biggest thing about the short week where it really screws teams at times is the concussion protocol. Because if you get you get a concussion on a, like, let's talk Thursday night games, you get a concussion on a Sunday, very unlikely that you're going to be back. Even if you're cleared, I think most coaches are kind of uncomfortable with throwing a guy out there like the day after they get cleared. And it seems like, yeah, this could compound even more than
At the end of the season?
What? Yeah, especially at the end of the season when everybody's running on vapors anyways.
You're fighting for a playoff spot or you're fighting for seeding, and now you got to play three games in 11 or 12 days or whatever it is.
I wish the Texans had won the game, but going to watch the Steelers on Christmas Day was a lot of fun.
When they played back here, back in 2017, yeah.
Was it a night game or a late after? It was a late afternoon game.
I think it was a late afternoon game. Yes.
I remember it being evening as I was leaving.
Yep, it was late afternoon,
and had to walk down because there's always so many Steelers games at Steelers games, home or away. I had to walk down the ramp slowly.
Oh, with a bunch of Steeler fans?
With a bunch of drunken, belligerent, and very, very arrogant Steelers fans.
They smoked the Texans that day, too. That was at the end of 2017. That was the Deshaun got hurt season.
Yeah.
So
I was impressed that there were that many Steelers fans that stayed all the way through that were walking down with us, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. That was a game Hopkins had that circus catch, though. I do remember that. Yeah, you remember
that game?
Remember that one
time
catch?
He had a circus catch?
Remember that time Hopkins had a circus catch? No, but it was one that like made all the highlights that year. It was a crazy one. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Okay, we're going to get to headlines or the 8-8, the Ocho, the big stories of the day. D'Amico speaks on J.J. Watt. We've got a conspiracy theory about J.J. Watt and the Texans on the text page that I promised to mix into the 8-8 here. It's that urgent that I need to mix this in. I don't know if this has legs or not, Seth, but I got to bounce this off of you. Good job, Texter. We'll get to that and all the stories to get your day going coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.